And as you're turning there, I have a few remarks that I want to make about the church in Galatia. Of course, the Apostle Paul, who is the writer of this letter, he established the church in Galatia. And unlike many of the churches that Paul established, the Galatians were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They had never known Judaism. They were heathen. They were idolaters. In fact, the Gauls is what they were called, and they were warriors. They lived hard, they drank hard, and they fought hard. And Paul went into that ungodly area and began to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the extent that this ungodly, idolatrous people turned their hearts to Jesus Christ, receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we're on their way to, in the sanctification process, when Paul had to go about other endeavors. And when he checked back with his church in Galatia, he found the Judaizers had come in and had turned their attention away from Christ and Him crucified, back to the Judaistic forms of worship, slaying lambs and things that as Gentiles they had never been involved in. And Paul writes one of the harshest rebukes in all of his epistles to the Galatians. He tells them in chapter 3, verse 3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected? Are you now made whole through the efforts of the flesh?" He tells them, "You've fallen from grace. Christ is of no effect unto you." He rebukes them harshly. And then here in chapter 5, he begins to soften his tone and he begins to try to teach them, as all of us as Christians must learn these fundamentals of how we are to live out our Christian experience. He says in Galatians 5 and verse 16, summarizing his prior content by saying, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the engrafted word, and we thank you for your timing, Lord, in bringing this word to our hearts. Lord, we love you this morning, although we do not walk in absolute perfection, but we ask you, Lord, that you'd help us to open our ears and open our hearts that the engrafted word might penetrate and make changes in our everyday life. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name asking you this. We ask you as well that you would bless the offering that we will be receiving today here in the worship room across the internet. Bless those families, those individuals that support the gospel of Christ. We ask it all in Jesus' name, thanking you for it. Amen and amen. Walk in the Spirit, and as a consequence, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, Paul here is talking about sin. The definition of flesh is the human body when it is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the definition of flesh. It doesn't have to be bad, but many times it is. And when the human body is not under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit, how many will admit we go left? Come on, we fall short. We don't live in absolute sinless perfection. If you tell yourself that, you need to get a grip on your spiritual reality, because that's not the case. Now, what many people do is redefine sin. If you do it, it's sin. But if I do it, nah. But the reality is that flesh, if it is not being directly influenced by the Holy Spirit of God, it will always skew away from a spiritual perspective and spiritual mindset. So Paul tells the Galatians, who had started in Christ, they had started in the gospel. They were on the road to sanctification, but then they let the influence of the culture begin to skew them into another direction. And for them, it was Judaism, but it wouldn't matter if it was Hinduism or if it was atheism or if it was agnosticism. It doesn't matter what ism it is. It causes us to move away from the influence of the Holy Spirit and move towards operating in the flesh. And right now, today, the Christian community as a whole is shot through with this very problem. And so Paul would say to us, as he said to them so long ago, walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to teach a little bit this morning because it's important for us to understand some of the nuances. You know, all of us can say, well, walk in the Spirit. Man, brother, I do that every day. That's me. I walk in the Spirit. And we say that when we don't fully understand the nuances of what Paul was trying to communicate. This word walk, it means not just on Sunday morning, but it means one's abiding state. This is the state that I abide in all the time. I walk in the Spirit. It just simply means that every thought, every action, every attitude is under the influence to some degree of the Holy Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit. It means that when ungodly thoughts or foolishness enters into your mind, the Holy Spirit prompts you, that's not of God, and immediately you cast down that imagination and you bring your whole mind and body under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit. Now, here's the reality. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit has access to you. Whether you have the baptism in the Spirit or not, which you should seek the baptism, but whether you do or not, the Holy Spirit has access to your internal being, and He will speak to you. Now, it's not going to be something you hear in your ears. It's going to be something you hear right into your heart, where He speaks to you. And every Christian knows when something is right, and they know when something's wrong. How many will admit, I know that much? See, if you don't know what's wrong, here's how you know what's wrong. If you do it and then you hide it, that was wrong. And you know it's wrong because you hid it. But before you actually do that thing that's wrong, the Holy Spirit will whisper into your heart, see thou doest not. Don't do that. Go move the other way. And walking in the Spirit is allowing God to move you in the direction He wants you to go into, rather than letting self move you in the direction that you want to go. Here's the reality. Well, I'll wait until we get to those scriptures. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and if you will simply do that, you will never fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every one of us that has any degree of a sin problem in our life, and understand, sin is not merely drinking and smoking and sexing and lying. That, you know, that's not, the Ten Commandments is not all the sin there is. Sometimes you can just have a nasty attitude. Has anybody ever had one of those? Or do you know somebody that had one of those? Sometimes a nasty attitude, that's sinful too. And the Holy Spirit is willing to help us with that. So He says, if you will walk in the Spirit, if you will allow the Spirit of God to more greatly influence your thoughts, your actions, and your attitudes, you will not fulfill the lust of this human body out from under the influence of the Spirit doing whatever it wants to do. Now, I feel like I need to bring that home so we can understand better what we're saying. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but many Christians have an inordinate TV habit. Just watch too much TV. But we have no prayer habit at all. That's getting it right there. I watch TVs for hours on end, but I can't pray 15 minutes. That lets you know that you're walking in the flesh to a greater degree than you're walking in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has no need for TV. Now, is watching TV sin? No, it's not. Our discipline is what makes it sin, or our lack of discipline is what makes it sinful. Am I making sense this morning? So Paul says, walk in the Spirit, walk under the influence of the Spirit, and you won't continue to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, this word lust, we often associate it with a sexual desire, sexual lust, and it is that, but the word lust just means a very strong desire. Just one more piece of that apple pie. I've had three, I know, but just one more piece. Does anybody have this problem other than me? Am I the only one? I like ice cream. I really, really like ice cream. And I used to buy the, I don't know what it is, a quart or whatever, of Bluebell, the big Bluebell ice creams. And man, they got the most delicious flavors. But it's bad for you. And I found myself quickly turned into a fat, skinny guy. And I realized this is going to be a problem. And over a period of time, the Lord helped me. In fact, he began to convict me because I could eat like a whole one all by myself. I'm telling on myself bad. And you know, you get brain freeze if you eat it too much and too fast. So I'd wait until I was getting into the tub and have a hot tub of water and sit in it, and you don't get brain freeze. It was turning into a problem. I'm giving you my secrets. So anyway, the Lord helped me with that. But then, and it was the caloric intake that was probably bothering more than anything else. So I found a new kind of ice cream that has low calories, very low calories, a Halo ice cream. But then over a period of time, I found myself eating too much of that. And so the thing is that you allow the Holy Spirit to influence every aspect of your life. Somebody says, I eat what I want to eat. You can do that if you want to, but you'd be better off listening to the Holy Spirit. You can watch TV for hours on end if you want to, but you'd be better off allowing the Holy Spirit to dictate, manage, and discipline that area of your life. Because the reality is this flesh has strong desires that are against the Spirit. That's what it says here. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It means there are strong desires, passions in the human body that contradict the things that the Spirit of God wants for us. Has anybody just ever ran into that in your own personality? Man, it's just like, man, I really want that. But God said no. All of us have. All of us have run into that, whether you'll admit it or not. You saw her, and she looked good. And you had to discipline yourself, reminding yourself, Jesus said, if you so much look upon her with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery, and so you have to discipline not only your eyes, but your mind, and you have to turn in another direction. The same with the females looking at well-built men. And so all of us have had to deal with that, and it's a strong desire that the flesh has. It's usually a more base desire. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. Meaning that there are things, lust is not a bad thing in and of itself. The Spirit lusteth against the flesh, meaning the Spirit has strong desires for you that contradict what your flesh wants. And this is the reality of the Christian experience. This is where we live. This is it right here. This is where the rubber meets the road. Now, many times we avoid this level of nuance and understanding because it's easier just to say, well, you know, that's just how I am. But the Spirit of God wants to move us away from what we are into what Christ is. He wants to make us into his own image. That means that the flesh, the passions, and the lust of the flesh must be crucified. That means they must die. And if you are a Christian, you've already experienced that dying of the flesh to some degree. Most people that I know prior to Christianity either drank liquor or smoked weed or some kind of intoxicant, did some kind of intoxicating substance. But when we come into Christianity, almost immediately the Holy Spirit helps us to move away from those things. And that passion that we had for those illicit intoxicants, it died out. It was crucified. Well, that's wonderful, but that's not where the Holy Spirit stops. He wants to control every thought that moves through your mind. He wants the very thoughts of our minds to be disciplined. How many's ever done this? I have. How many of you ever just felt sorry for yourself? Just woe was me. Man, me, oh man, why me? And I like what Arthur Ashe, his answer was when he was asked by a reporter, why, do you ever ask why me? He says, no, I ask why not me? What's so wonderful about me that I can't go through a little something? But it says here that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And catch this, these, the spirit and the flesh, are contrary the one to the other. That means that they are in constant opposition one to the other. Is the flesh is trying to go left and the spirit of God is trying to go right. That they're always in conflict. And if you are a Christian today, you feel that conflict in you every single day. And so what Paul is saying then, when you feel that conflict, walk in the spirit. Push your mind and your thoughts towards the spiritual avenue. And if you'll do that, the Holy Spirit will come in and help you and you will not fulfill that lust of the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, the word would here is a derivative of the word will that speaks of our personal will. It may be my initial will to have that fourth piece of apple pie. But I cannot do the things that it's my will to do. There are times I have to do his will. You remember Jesus in Gethsemane? Not my will, but thy will be done. That is the reality of the Christian experience. That is what growth is in Christ, is when you will lean towards the spiritual avenue, even when it denigrates what your personal passion might have been. That's what the Christian experience is. Now, he goes on and he gives a long litany of how it plays out when a person walks in the flesh as opposed to when they walk in the spirit. And from this, you're going to be able to see how you're walking. Galatians 5, again, verse 19 says, "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Now, pause right there. Notice he calls it the works of the flesh. It's because it's something that the human body produces. It's not initiated. It's not energized by the Holy Spirit. It is all produced by man's and man's own fallen will. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. There's one we can all relate to: wrath. Strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, Paul might not have found you in that list that he gave, but he added "and such like" to catch all. That's the catch all. So even though you may not be in this list, but I dare say you probably are somewhere in there, the catch all "and such like." "Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." You see, it's going to be spiritual-minded people who have subject themselves to the will of the Holy Spirit. That's who inherits the kingdom of God, the meek. But those who trample past the Holy Spirit and just do whatever they want to do it because they want to do it, number one, you stay a baby in Christ forever. Number two, you are walking a direction leading you out of Christianity altogether. And you're going to come to a place in your life that the walls are going to shut in on you, and you're going to turn to Jesus Christ, and he's going to say, "Behold, I've been standing at the door knocking, waiting for you to hear my voice and let me back in." So those are the works of the flesh, verse 22. But now the fruit of the Spirit. Notice that it's not the works of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It is something that you don't have to produce yourself. The Holy Spirit will produce this in you. He's the one that does the production. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no commandment, there's no law. And they that are Christ, here it is, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. This is the expectation that Paul puts before the entire church, is that if we belong to Christ, then to some degree, we have been crucifying the flesh with its affections and with its lust and all of its passions. They're in the process of being suppressed as the will of the Holy Spirit is enlarging in our lives. Am I making sense today? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, this is an important phrase because what we think in our minds is not always what we live in our lives. I've met few Christians that didn't consider themselves spiritual giants. But if the veil were to be pulled back and a real view allowed into your life, my life, we'd realize we're not spiritual giants, we're spiritual midgets. We're not nearly where we could be if we would get serious about the things of God. Does it sound like I'm scolding you this morning? That's not my spirit at all. Because you're looking at me like, I can't take much more, Pastor. But we can have in our minds that we're living out. We have all the theology straight in our minds. We have the whole spiritual avenue to perfection is all clear in our minds. But where the rubber meets the road, where we have to demonstrate, where we have to walk it out, that's the reality of where we're really at, not just within our minds. How many know we're given to mental hallucinations? I mean, we can just dream up some stuff in our minds. It's weird. Okay, I know I'm not the only one in here. But the thing is that what happens in these few inches between your ears, that's not reality, that's imagination. And that too must come under the subjugation of the Holy Spirit, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. That's walking in the Spirit when you allow Him, He filters what you allow to be in your mind. And sometimes it doesn't have to be craziness. It doesn't have to be weirdness going on. Sometimes you can just have a wrong attitude boiling in your mind. And if it keeps boiling in your mind, pretty soon it's going to boil right out of your mouth. Now, as it boils out of your mouth, you're going to put it in somebody else's mind and let it boil there for a while. That's what's wrong right now with the whole political system in the United States, how it's affecting society. We've allowed nonsense to boil out of our mouths and go into somebody else's mind and then boil out of their mouth. And now you have schisms all through the nations. Well, we need a people who are walking with the Holy Spirit. It stops with me. I might hear it, but I'm not going to transmit it. I might be impacted by somebody who's boiling on the inside, but I'm not going to transmit that and boil it and allow somebody else to start boiling. Amen. So he says, if we live in the Spirit, it means how we feel internally. We're alive to the Spirit. We're alive to the things of God. If we are alive to the things of God, then let us permanently abide in the things of God. Let us walk in the Spirit, if that is the case. Then finally, here in Romans chapter 8, and he's speaking on the same subject matter in Romans, which is an entirely different church. That lets us know this was not a Galatian problem. This is a human being problem. He spoke it 2,000 years ago to Galatia, but it's apropos for you and I today because it's a human being problem. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." In other words, those who, instead of following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, they opt to just move after their own mindset, their own passions, their own desires. They that are after the Spirit, they are focused upon, they do mind the things of the Spirit. It means that that is their priority and that is their focus. Now, this is going to sting just a little bit. when our priority is television set, the watching television, hours on end, we don't get anything done for the Holy Spirit. We don't study, we don't pray, we don't move forward at all in the Spirit. We're just stuck there. And it's because our priorities, this is more important than that. And I'm going to tell you, this is more important than anything. And I have found that if you will stay in your word, just read it. Read it to get an understanding from it. And if you will spend some time in prayer, it makes walking in the Spirit so much easier. I don't know what it is about this book. I've been reading it 30 years, almost 40 actually. But it changes you. It changes the way you think. It challenges you to not move in the way that you would ordinarily want to move, but to give retrospect and look at, well, how does God feel about this? And after a period of time, it's not, you don't even go through the mental exercise, should I do this or should I do that? You just move to what you should do because you're being more and more Christ-like, made more and more Christ-like. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, this comes down to the priorities that we set. For to be carnally minded, now, the flesh is carnal and it thinks carnally. When you heard Jesus say, he that hath an ear, let him hear, he was not talking to carnally minded people. You have to have a spiritual ear to hear spiritual things. For to be carnally minded is death. What it means is that you will experience spiritual death, maybe ultimately physical death, but before that, you're going to have spiritual death, meaning that your love for God will grow cold. Your desire to serve God will depreciate. Your willingness to give of yourself, to give to the things of God, you'll find it more and more difficult. But to be spiritually minded, meaning just what it says, spiritually minded, is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means the mind that thinks out from under the influence of the Holy Spirit, there is a hostility towards not only God, but the things of God, the ways of God, the desires of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, in conclusion, they that are in the flesh simply cannot please God. Now, saints, I bring this to you today because if we're not constantly reminded of what it is, the Christian challenge is, we will easily forget. And we live within a culture that moves us to lighter things. There's nothing weighty that impacts our everyday lives. And it's easy to talk about, man, God's going to bless me, God's going to bless me, God's going to bless me. Yes, but what about this? What about this that we share today? It's a reality in Christ too. Amen? Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I've done my best to share the truth of the Christian experience with your people. I would ask you now, Lord, that you would take these words that have been spoken today and that you'd impact our hearts and that you'd impact our lives. That you'd bring conviction upon us, Lord, in the next time, the next instance that we find ourselves at the crossroads, will we walk after the Spirit or will we walk after the flesh? Oh God, let your Holy Spirit convict us right at that point. Strengthen us and motivate us, Lord, that we would move towards the things of God. Come on, all over the room. If you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet with me, if you're able? And you just reach out. You know where you are at in the things of God. You know where you're at. And just reach out under your voice. You don't have to be loud or tell anybody else your situation, but just say, God, help me, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. Lord, I find myself too often doing what I want to do when I know it's not altogether correct. And so I ask you, Lord, that you would help me today. Help me to walk in your Spirit. Come on, just reach out to the Lord, won't you? Just reach out.
Holy Father, we just thank you. We just ask for your help, Lord, to walk in the Spirit, Father. Help us to know that, Lord, it's not our actions, Lord, but it's what flows out of our heart and our minds. So, Father, we just ask that you just search our hearts, Lord. Search our minds, Lord, and just see if there be any way that is not right with you, Father. Help us to walk rightly with you, Lord, knowing that you will give us the grace that we need, Lord. Father, we just ask for mercy, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, that was a good word. Once again, thank you guys for being out with us today. A couple of quick announcements. August 17th, Refuge, our youth ministry, they're having what is called a Refuge Oasis. It's August 17th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if you're a youth, definitely we want to see you out there. It's from ages 9 to 14. And also, if you haven't given, please go ahead and do so now. With that being said, it's good to see you guys and have a blessed rest of your day.